Chapter 10. Love is a choice.
How can we speak each other's love language when we are full of hurt, anger, and resentment over past failures? The answer to that question lies in the essential nature of our humanity. We are creatures of choice. That means that we have the capacity to make poor choices, which all of us have done. We have spoken critical words, and we have done hurtful things. We are not proud of those choices, although they may have seemed justified at the moment. Poor choices in the past do not mean that we must make them in the future. Instead, we can say, "I'm sorry. I know I've hurt you, but I would like to make the future different. I would like to love you in your language. I would like to meet your needs." I have seen marriages rescued from the brink of divorce when couples make the choice to love. Love doesn't erase the past, but it makes the future different. When we choose active expressions of love in the primary love language of our spouse, we create an emotional climate where we can deal with our past conflicts and failures. Brent was in my office stone-faced and unfeeling. He had come not by his own initiative, but at my request. A week earlier, his wife Becky had been sitting in the same chair, weeping uncontrollably. Between her outburst of tears, she managed to verbalize that Brent had told her that he no longer loved her and that he was leaving. She was devastated. When she regained her composure, she said, "We have both worked so hard the last 2 or 3 years. I knew that we were not spending as much time together as we used to, but I thought we were working for a common goal. I cannot believe what he is saying. He has always been such a kind and caring person. He's such a good father to our children. How can he do this to us?" I listened as she described their 12 years of marriage. It was a story I had heard many times before. They had an exciting courtship, got married at the height of the in-love experience, had the typical adjustments in the early days of marriage, and pursued the American dream. In due time, they came down off the emotional high of the in-love experience, but did not learn to speak each other's love language sufficiently. She had lived with a love tank only half full for the past several years, but she had received enough expressions of love to make her think that everything was okay. However, his love tank was empty. I told Becky that I would see if Brent would talk with me. I told Brent on the phone, "As you know, Becky came to see me and told me about her struggle with what is happening in the marriage. I want to help her, but in order to do so, I need to know what you're thinking." He agreed without hesitation, and now he sat in my office. His outward appearance was in stark contrast to Becky's. She had been weeping uncontrollably, but he was stoic. I had the impression, however, that his weeping had taken place weeks or perhaps months ago, and that it had been an inward weeping. The story Brent told confirmed my hunch. "I just don't love her anymore," he said. "I haven't loved her for a long time. I don't want to hurt her, but we're not close. Our relationship has become empty. I don't enjoy being with her anymore. I don't know what happened. I wish it were different, but I don't have any feelings for her." Brent was thinking and feeling what hundreds of thousands of husbands have thought and felt through the years. It's the "I don't love her anymore" mindset that gives men the emotional freedom to seek love with someone else. The same is true for wives who use the same excuse. Thousands of husbands and wives have been where Brent was, emotionally empty, wanting to do the right thing, not wanting to hurt anyone, but being pushed by their emotional needs to seek love outside the marriage. In fact, most in our society have not yet learned the difference between the in-love experience and the emotional need to feel loved. The movies, the TV soap operas, and the romantic magazines have intertwined these two loves, thus adding to our confusion. They are, in fact, quite distinct. Remember, the in-love experience that we discussed in Chapter 3 is on the level of instinct. It is not premeditated. It simply happens in the normal context of male-female relationships. It can be fostered or quenched, but it does not arise by conscious choice. It is short-lived, usually 2 years or less, and seems to serve for humankind the same function as the mating call of the Canadian geese. The in-love experience temporarily meets one's emotional need for love. It gives us the feeling that someone cares, that someone admires us and appreciates us. Our emotions soar with the thought that another person sees us as number one. In time, however, we come down from that natural high back to the real world. If our spouse has learned to speak our primary love language, our need for love will continue to be satisfied. If, on the other hand, he or she does not speak our love language, our tank will slowly drain and we will no longer feel loved. Meeting that need in one's spouse is definitely a choice. If I learn the emotional love language of my spouse and speak it frequently, she will continue to feel loved. When she comes down from the obsession of the in-love experience, she will hardly even miss it, because her emotional tank will continue to be filled. However, if I have not learned her primary language, or have chosen not to speak it, when she descends from the emotional high, she will have the natural yearnings of unmet emotional need. After some years of living with an empty love tank, she will likely fall in love with someone else, and the cycle will begin again. With all of that in my mind, I looked back at the deadpan face of Brent and wondered if I could help him. I knew in my heart that he was probably already involved with another in-love experience. I wondered if it was in the beginning stages or at its height. Few men suffering from an empty emotional love tank leave their marriage until they have prospects of meeting that need somewhere else. Brent was honest and revealed that he had been in love with someone else for several months. He had hoped that the feelings would go away and that he could work things out with his wife. But things at home had gotten worse, and his love for the other woman had increased. He could not imagine living without his new lover. Brent said he sincerely did not want to hurt his wife or his children, but at the same time he felt he deserved a life of happiness. I told him the statistics on second marriages, that 60% end in divorce. He was surprised to hear that, but was certain that he would beat the odds. I told him about the research on the effects of divorce on children, but he was convinced that he would continue to be a good father to his children and that they would get over the trauma of divorce. I talked to Brent about the difference between the experience of falling in love and the deep emotional need to feel loved. I explained the 5 love languages and challenged him to give his marriage another chance. All the while, I knew that my intellectual and reasoned approach to marriage, compared to the emotional high that he was experiencing, was like pitting a BB gun against an automatic weapon. He expressed appreciation for my concern and asked that I do everything possible to help Becky, but he assured me that he saw no hope for his marriage. 1 month later, I received a call from Brent. He indicated that he would like to talk with me again. This time, when he entered my office, he was noticeably disturbed. He was not the calm, cool man I had seen before. His lover had begun to come down off the emotional high, and she was observing things in Brent that she did not like. She was withdrawing from the relationship, and he was crushed. We talked, and eventually he realized that the experience was inevitable. I reminded him of the temporary nature of the in-love experience, that sooner or later we always come down from the high to the real world. After some time, I suggested that perhaps the crisis was a good time for him and his wife to get some marriage counseling. I reminded him that true, long-lasting emotional love is a choice, and that emotional love could be reborn in his marriage if he and his wife learned to love each other in the right love languages. He agreed to marriage counseling. 9 months later, Brent and Becky left my office with a reborn marriage. In the 9 months that I counseled Brent and Becky, we worked through numerous conflicts that they had never resolved before. But the key to the rebirth of their marriage was discovering each other's primary love language and choosing to speak it frequently. One day, Brent told me with a smile, "My tank has never been so full, and Becky is the happiest woman you're ever going to meet." You may wonder, what if the love language of my spouse is something that doesn't come natural for me? I'm often asked this question at my marriage seminars, and my answer is, so, choose to do it. Remember, love is a choice. When an action doesn't come naturally to you, yet you do it, it is a greater expression of love. Someone says, "But Dr. Chapman, I know that my spouse's love language is physical touch, and I'm not a toucher. I never saw my mother and my father hug each other. They never hugged me. Dr. Chapman, I'm just not a toucher. What am I going to do?" Do you have two hands? Can you put them together? Now imagine that you have your spouse in the middle and pull him or her towards you. I'll bet that if you hug your spouse 3,000 times, it will begin to feel more comfortable. But ultimately, comfort is not the issue. We're talking about love. And love is something you do for someone else, not something you do for yourself. Most of us do many things each day that do not come naturally for us. For some of us, that's getting out of bed in the morning. We go against our feelings and get out of bed. Why? Because we believe there is something worthwhile to do that day. And normally, before the day is over, we feel good about having gotten up. Our actions preceded our emotions. The same is true with love. We discover the primary love language of our spouse, and we choose to speak it, whether or not it is natural for us. We are not claiming to have warm, excited feelings. We are simply choosing to do it for his or her benefit. We want to meet our spouse's emotional need, and we reach out to speak his love language. In so doing, his emotional love tank is filled, and chances are he will reciprocate and speak our language. When he does, our emotions return and our love tank begins to fill. Love is a choice, and either partner can start the process today.